We're lucky to have His Honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason, with us, as we do every month, to get the lowdown on what's going on all around us in our city.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You know what I got for you this morning? Especially for you.
Water. Thank you, sir.
A bottle of
thank you, sir.
Ice Mountain water. Thank you. You ever see the SNL skit when Perrier water first came out?
No, I didn't see that.
They showed it was a guy in a beret. He was filling up water bottles from the toilet and said, "You and Americans are so stupid."
We do have great water here. If you're seeing water utility, you can turn it on.
I know.
Get great water.
I know, but you know, my taste buds got to that water.
Yeah.
Even other bottled water I have problems with. My wife bought this off-brand of, spring water.
Yeah.
I could taste the difference.
Oh, all right.
We talked about before we went on the air, my OCD and everything.
Yeah.
That kicks in. Let's talk about some of the things going on in our city.
Sure.
And we've got the apartment groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Richard Park ground. Now, this is where Regency Mall used to be.
That's right. It's where the theater used to be behind Target.
The Regency Mall Cinema.
That's right. That's right. So people might remember, I almost at the groundbreaking went through like, this is where I saw Gremlins and The Karate Kid. And then I thought, I don't know that anybody's going to care what movies I saw there in the 80s. But, if you were there in the 80s and 90s, that's where a lot of people went to theaters. It was a 6-screen theater there for a while. But that building's been gone for, more than a decade, right? And so when the Hull Group bought the mall and took it over, they said, we think this would be a nice spot right across from the park, behind Target there. And so they're putting in more than 200 apartments, and they'll be ready to go in about a year. So look for that. It's exciting. It's right on Roosevelt there. If you're sort of coming in on, just off of Durand, where you turn in to go to the Target across from Pritchard Park, there'll be a few hundred apartments that are going to go in.
Is there still a dog kennel back there?
There is not.
Oh, they left?
Yeah. So that building's gone as well.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're out in Sturtevant now.
Oh, okay. Here's a little thing about that theater people don't know. When they knocked it down, Marcus never took the projectors out. The projectors got, because you don't need them.
Yeah, I suppose.
They don't use projectors anymore.
I suppose, yeah.
So they knocked down the theater projector. The only thing they took out were the seats, because they could repurpose those. But they left all the projectors and everything were in there. They knocked it down and it was in the rubble. They didn't need them anymore. They don't use projectors.
Wow.
Yeah, they use computers now to play the movies in theaters. So that's the groundbreaking is there. When do they expect that to open?
In about a year. So, yeah, look for that to happen quickly.
We have a lot of new apartment buildings in our area.
We do. There's some exciting stuff going up. I mean, there is a real need for housing. I mean, you hear about it all the time. They do these market studies that are out there, but they're like, look, the Racine area could absorb 600 new apartment units every year for the next 10 years and not break a sweat. So there's definitely a need for those apartments. This will put in about 230 of them. So we'll look for that to pop up in the year ahead. And it's, it's just across the way from where the new Woodman's is going in.
So, I know.
So look for that to open before Labor Day.
So you go to your apartment, you can walk right over, you don't have to drive anywhere, steal a cart, and just bring it.
Well, you don't have to steal a cart.
You know that's going to happen.
I mean, look, the Target's right there. People seem to not steal the carts. It seems to work out okay.
Steal the carts.
But that Woodman's, that building is 5 acres. That's how big that Woodman's is.
I know.
It's going to be pretty great.
You got to take like 12 energy pills just to get through a Woodman's.
It's so,
you know what the horrible thing was? I went to the one in Kenosha only once. My brother lives next to it, so I went there once. I was with him. And I forgot something. And it was like a 4-day hike to get to the other side of the store. And I said, you know what? Forget it.
Options you have, though.
It's just a very big store.
Yeah.
Very big. Okay. Next up, we've got the Cop House Kids Meals. Now, we had in here two of the ladies running that. We had Sherry in here, and we had Officer Hood was in here.
Yeah, Gabby's great.
Yeah, Gabby. And we had them both in here last week.
Yeah.
They were talking about it. And she sent me a picture of all the meals and all the people sitting there eating their meals.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how you grew up. I think I knew how you grew up. I never was hungry.
No.
The fridge was always full.
Right.
The cupboards were always loaded. Anything we wanted, we had to eat. It's hard to for people to fathom that, what do you mean you don't have any food to eat?
Right.
What do you mean you're hungry?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I mean, food insecurity is a real thing in this country and in this community. And people, again, if you've never experienced it, if you've not had to worry about like, wow, we don't have much money until payday, we're not going to be able to have food or whatnot, it can make a big difference. And we know in that Lincoln King neighborhood in particular, for a lot of those kids, the only consistent meal they get during the school year is at school. School lunch, right? So what do you do when school's out? And so what what Sherry and Officer Hood are trying to do there at that Geneva Street Cop House is like, hey, look, every day, Monday through Friday during the summer, come on in. We can serve you lunch. And so, you know, the kids come with their parents, or more aptly, parents bring their kids. But, you know, they come, they have a good meal. You know, they turn on a few hoses and a slip and slide in the back, and the kids get to play and burn off some energy. But it just creates the opportunity for those kids not to go hungry over the summer. And, you know, I applaud both of them for taking that up.
Sherry Tussler, that's her name. Yeah. I find it hard to believe that people are hungry in this, you know, area. Yeah. Well, with all the food in the supermarkets, and it's just hard to believe.
It is a unique thing in America, to your point. It's not because there's not enough food in this country. There's enough food. It's just how we structure, you know, this is where, you know, these proposed cuts to food stamps that are being debated at
the Medicaid
level.
Cuts. Let's get into that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's one of these things. I mean, I rarely sort of stray into, you know, federal policy is getting in there is the sort of thing that we talk about. But you've got, you know, between the cuts to food stamps, or SNAP, as it's called now, or and the Medicaid stuff, which will have a huge impact on people who rely on Medicaid for whether it's a nursing home or for low-income folks who need health care, it's going to have a real devastating impact on the community. And so I'm really hoping that, you know, Congress is debating it this week, and you're starting to see a couple Republican senators from North Carolina and Maine
say,
this is going to be really bad for our state here. And, you know, it's tough. And it's one thing if they're like, look, we've got to do this to balance the budget. But it's almost the exact number between those cuts between food stamps and Medicaid and CDBG and all these other things that the city relies on to keep, you know, working class people out of the ER for health care and fed during the summer and just basic human necessities that people need. And then they're going to extend a huge tax break for people that don't really need it, right? I mean, it's going to, by and large, benefit people who are very wealthy already. And so it just seems like Congress really has its priorities screwed up here. And I really hope there's enough folks who are going to be level-headed about it and say, this is just too big of a devastating impact to working class people.
Even some of our politicians, Republicans, are against these cuts. I heard one senator yesterday from Kentucky, and figure out who it is, and they were talking about the people, are they going to suffer with these Medicaid cuts? Yeah. His answer was, they'll get over it.
Yeah, I mean,
isn't that funny?
I don't think they will, and I don't think they should.
No, they're not going to get over it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Look, I mean, and again, people don't realize how much Medicaid pays for, whether it's, you know, mental health services for kids in Racine Unified, or your parents' nursing home, or just the low income folks who need access to health care. It has a huge impact in our community and, you know, and communities across this country. So, you know, people should know that it'll have a real effect here in Racine as well.
What is the difference between Medicaid and Medicare?
Yeah, good question. So Medicare is for older Americans. So you got to be 65 to qualify for Medicare. Medicaid is for low income individuals. So for people who are on disability, or for people who, you know, pregnant moms and children and other folks. So that's how Medicaid by and large pays for. But it also pays for nursing homes for low income people too. So there's also older seniors who might benefit from the Medicaid program as well. But, you know, the estimates are that there are hundreds of thousands of people that could lose their health care here in Wisconsin if these changes go through the way they're talking about.
Think they will? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but
I hope not. I mean, you know, it was a time when Trump was president the first time, when he wanted to get rid of Obamacare altogether, and it was a big deal. And, you know, it didn't get repealed by one vote. You know, John McCain came in at the last minute.
Yeah, and I remember giving the thumbs down.
So we're not doing it. We're not getting rid of health care for all these Americans. I'm hoping for something like that again here, but just people should know it will have a devastating impact here in the community we're seeing, because we've got a lot of working class people who are low income, a lot of seniors on fixed income, and they rely on those services to keep their kids fed and their families healthy.
His Honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason here. More coming up with the mayor in a moment. 7:47, local news, Tamla's Hits, right here at WRJN. Looking for showers and thunderstorms in our forecast today, tonight, tomorrow. 72 degrees the high for today, 64 the low tonight, 82 tomorrow. Cloudy, 63 at Radio Park. You ever get your window fixed?
We're in line. There's a waiting list. So we're the only people who need
a
window.
That last storm about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you had your window blown out from that storm. Yeah. Whoa, it's still boarded up, huh?
It is. We're in line.
His Honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason is with us this morning. We're talking about a variety of topics here. Let's talk about the Island Park Beer Garden.
Yeah, it's
now
exciting.
Tell people exactly where this is.
So Island Park, people should know where it is. You can either come to it right where the bend at Kinsey and 6th is, sort of by Holy Communion Church on the hill there. If you turn in there on, you know, State Street on Kinzie, you'll drive right into Island Park, or you can access park off of South Memorial between 6th and State Street. There's a turn in there called Liberty that you can turn in there, and it takes you right through Island Park. But it's part of a chain of parks that run through the city of Racine along the river there. And so it's called Island Park because the river actually splits there, and there's a sort of a big island that makes up what is the park. It is where the Racine Zoo once was more than 100 years ago. It was actually in that park.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where it started out. So it's got a great history to it, but and it's got a great historic pavilion from, I believe, the 1930s it was built. And in the last few years, we've done some great improvements to it. We put in some new pickleball courts. They redid the softball fields, you know, new children's playground equipment, and a pretty nice dog park that we put in the year before last. So if you like running your dogs around at the dog park, that's great. And then now for a few weekends this summer, we're gonna have a beer garden there over the weekend, so people can come and, you know, walk their dog, bring their dog into the park and run them around in that dog park, and then enjoy a beer and a nice afternoon and just really enjoy.
You and the dog both have a beer.
That's good. Well, I don't know if you want to give the dog a beer, but it's a nice opportunity for people to, you know, have something to drink and in a family friendly environment. And, you know, like I said, bring the dogs, run them hard and just enjoy Island Park. You know, for the people who use Island Park, they love it, but we have just as many people who maybe like you was like, tell me where Island Park is exactly. I don't know that I've.
Yeah, I know. That's me. Yeah.
So, you know, it's got a nice canoe launch on it. We have tons of, you know, baseball games and softball games that happen there over the summer. And again, with pickleball on the rise, tons of people use it. It's literally just across the river from Lutheran High School off of Spring Street there, although you can't drive into it from Spring. But that's roughly the area that it's in, and people love it. And, you know, what we get when people come to the event is it's like, wow, I had no idea this was down here. This is great. So it's just another way to invite people in. We know that people really seem to enjoy beer gardens in the summertime, and we've got a family-friendly place where you can, you know, be there with your family and bring the dog and run them hard to get them to, you know, hopefully not wake you in the middle of the night.
Like, yeah, go to sleep as soon as you get home, man.
That's right. That's right.
Now, when did you mentioned something a second ago here. I forgot what it was. As you get old,
it's all right.
It'll come to me in just a moment here.
Can I give you the weekends that we're going to have the beer garden?
Yeah, do the weekend schedule.
Yeah. So it's not every weekend, but we just had it last weekend for the grand opening, and then it'll be July 18th and 20th, and then August 22nd through 24th. And then September 19th through 21st, and the hours are Friday 4 to 8, Saturday 12 to 8, and Sunday 12 to 6.
So, I just now remember what I was going to say. Was I in a coma? When did pickleball come around?
Oh, my gosh.
It hasn't been around that long.
It's maybe 10 years. It is the fastest growing sport in America. It is. I mean, people just are, just taken with it, right? I mean, it's just really, and it seems to be a friendly sport for people at all ages and all skill level, whereas, you know, tennis, you got to be like able to really, you know, ace somebody with a monster serve or whatnot. Pickleball apparently slows it down a little bit.
Lower net.
But I will tell you, I mean, in the community centers, there's even sort of a, you know, you got to be at a certain skill level to play at one of the community centers. If you're just a beginner, they expect you to go to one of the other community centers. They don't want, you know, you got to bring your game if you're able to do, but it's huge.
I don't know if I was in a coma when it started because I don't remember it ever starting. It's just one day it was there. Everybody was talking about pickleball.
I mean, I didn't really know about it until during COVID when people were sort of sequestered and whatnot and still, you know, how can we go outside and do something? And people were doing pickleball because you're still far enough away and doing it. But it apparently started before that, but it has just taken fire in this country. I mean, young people love it. Older adults really love it. It is a lot of tennis courts are getting slightly modified into pickleball courts because people are playing a lot more pickleball than they are tennis these days.
Let's talk about the big 4th of July parade coming up.
Yeah.
And couldn't be better. It's on a Friday. So when you're exhausted, a lot of people don't have to get up on Saturday.
That's right.
And that would be me. And so I went to the driver's meeting last night, 140 units this year.
Oh, that's great.
That's a lot of people
that's
in the
great.
Parade. And you said you're going to be in it. You're going to walk it.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Do every year.
And there is a car for you.
There is.
But
there is.
You decide to walk it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
How many miles is it? 2 miles?
It's almost 3 miles.
Oh, it is almost three.
It is one of the longest parade routes in the Midwest. So it is, you know, but it's also, it's like our big homecoming party, right? Everybody like comes out for it.
It's one of the biggest in the country.
It is. It is. They say it's the biggest in the Midwest. You know, I think last year we started seeing close to pre-pandemic numbers. Being the first couple of years after the pandemic, it was a little bit light, but people are coming back and we're getting more entries into the parade. And, you know, it's a great way to see the parade. And then, you know, the fireworks that night are just, you know, fantastic part of, it's just one of the things when you think about, like, wow, what makes Racine sort of great? I think, you know, in that top 10 list of things, if you were to pick, I would put that 4th of July parade on that list. I mean, it's really a remarkable thing. We bring everybody down. We enjoy and celebrate our country and enjoy each other's company for the parade. And then you take maybe a little nap in the afternoon before you go back out for the fireworks. And at least maybe I do after you walk 3 miles
of the
parade.
The food part.
Lots of eating, lots of family, lots of friends, lots of cookouts, all that stuff.
So I went to the driver's meeting. I told you there's a lot of planning that goes into this that people don't realize. This is like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They start planning the day after the parade.
So the 4th Fest board deserves a lot of credit for doing this. They're great partners with the city. They raise about half the money for the day's events between the fireworks and the parade and all that work, which is fantastic. And the city puts in the other half, but they do all the planning. They prepare for it. They work with the police department. They work with DPW. They're working with public health for the, you know, people who are selling food and all this stuff. And I should also say, for a lot of our city employees, they do not get the 4th of July off. They're working that parade route, right? I mean, police and fire in particular, sort of all hands on deck to make sure it's an event that's safe for everybody.
You want to get no holiday stuff? Go work in radio. We're 24/7, 365 days a year. There's no closed radio stations.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know, but for police and fire, it might be a normal day. People get a certain, it's kind of all hands on deck on that day. And so, you know, we appreciate the work that our public employees do to make the 4th of July fun for everybody.
Thank you, Mayor, for coming in.
My pleasure.
His Honor, Mayor Corey Masons from the city of Racine. We'll talk to you again next month.
Looking forward to it.
All right. We'll get to see how well you walked in the parade.
Yeah, maybe we'll see you at the beer garden.
Yeah, maybe. Right. I haven't had a beer in my entire life. Who knows if I'll start?
Well, bring your dog and at least enjoy the dog.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.